Hello and good morning, Stavanger Lutheran Church.
Good morning.
It is good to be gathered here today on this Sunday, February 28th, 2021. It is the second Sunday of Lent. And we will begin with a few announcements. Tomorrow, Monday night, we have our church board meeting. So look forward to seeing you there. We also have our Wednesday night service in the middle of the week. We have two things going on Wednesday night. At 7, we have our virtual Lenten Bible study. It's Wednesday night, 7 p.m. This Wednesday, I'll have the pleasure of serving with you. 7 p.m., tune in. If you don't have the link, you can contact Pastor John Jewell. His email is right there in the bulletin. He will send you a link so you can participate. I think we've been having a really great time so far. Wednesday nights at 7. After that, we're jumping right over to our virtual Shady Oak Bible study, which will meet at 7:45. We are in the book of Isaiah. If you've never been, you're also welcome to join in. For a link to that virtual service, just contact me. My information is on the back of the bulletin. You can text me or call me. And with that, do we have any other announcements? All right. Well, then let us begin our service. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hear the call to worship from Psalm 22, verses 23 through 31. You who fear the Lord, praise Him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor Him. Revere Him, all you descendants of Israel. For He has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden His face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations will bow before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. Let us pause for a moment of silence. As you are so able with the congregation, please rise as we worship the Lord in song.
Please join us in singing, Come, Now is the Time to Worship.
Come, now is the time to worship.
I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 through 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.
You may be seated. Please continue singing with us, Everlasting God.
Praise the Lord. Congregation, would you join me as we confess our sins together using the words on the screen here? I'll read the words under the heading Pastor. Would you join me in the words under the heading Congregation? Let us confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us. And for his sake, grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on His name, He gives power to become the children of God and bestows on them His Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. And now, congregation, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. You'll see the words on the screen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Does the congregation have any prayer requests to be made known? Well, let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to You, gathered together under the hearing of Your word. We ask that You bless this time. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to understand and to believe Your word. Lord, we come to You with our burdens and our cares. And we give them to You, Lord. Where we lack in wisdom, Lord, we ask that You give us wisdom. Where we lack in faith, Lord, we ask that You give us faith. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for our people. For all people, our neighbors. Lord, You have told us who our neighbor is. Help us to love as You have loved us. Oh Lord, we ask for instruction today. As we hear the word, I pray for Pastor Eric, who will preach, and pray for the hearing of the word today. Instruct us, Lord. And now, congregation, we will pray in the manner of the Lord Jesus taught us with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It is my pleasure to welcome Pastor Eric with today's message, Redemption from Self-Reliance, a word from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 27 through 38. Thank you, Pastor Eric.
Good morning, everyone. Our gospel this morning comes from Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 38. Please rise as you are able for the reading of God's word. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. I'm sure you are all familiar with the name Timothy McVeigh. He was responsible for the deadly Oklahoma City bombing in 1995. That bombing killed 168 people, and for it, McVeigh was sentenced to death. He chose the poem Invictus, which means invincible or undefeatable in Latin, to be included in his final statement. He handed a handwritten copy of the poem to the prison warden just before his execution. The last stanza of that poem is not only an apt picture of Timothy McVeigh, but also of our society. It says, "It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." I think if we listen closely to the last few lines of that poem, we can hear Satan whispering in Eve's ear, because it's the same lie. In the Garden of Eden, the sharing of knowledge and information was one way. It was from God to his creation. Adam and Eve were wholly dependent on God, wholly dependent on his love as their creator. But the serpent proposed a different way. He went to Eve and told her that she could be like God. No longer would she need to rely on God. No longer would she be dependent on him. She and her husband, Adam, fell for it. In their attempt to become the masters of their fate, the captains of their souls, they brought sin to all of humanity. And this sin is not only found in our external actions, not only in the ways that we fail to love God and our neighbor, it's found in our hearts. Sin is found in hearts that no longer look to God, that no longer completely trust and rely on him. Hearts that have become self-reliant. We see this in our gospel text this morning, which begins with Jesus asking his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" His disciples replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Still others, one of the prophets." Now, I think these responses tell us that Jesus has been up to some stuff that is not ordinary. He's been doing some pretty unusual things. When Jesus asked his disciples who people say he is, none of them say, "He's Jesus." They say, "No, this guy is a prophet." And that answer makes sense if we look at what Jesus has been doing so far in the Gospel of Mark. He has cast out unclean spirits. He has healed all kinds of deformity and sickness. He's walked on water, fed multitudes out of scarcity. He even raised a girl from the dead. And people took notice of these things. They reasoned that Jesus might be a prophet. So Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers, "You are the Messiah." This is one of the rare examples of a disciple offering the correct answer. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is God's anointed, the one who was promised to come and crush the head of the serpent, the one that was promised to come through the line of Abraham, who through whom all the families of the earth would be blessed, the one who would be David's offspring, whose kingdom would be established forever. This is who Peter was confessing Jesus to be. So surely, Peter would trust in and rely on this man Jesus, who he has identified as his Messiah. Verse 31, Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer and must be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Peter is still relying on himself. He recognizes Jesus as the Messiah. But when Jesus reveals what being the Messiah means, that it means he will suffer, he will be rejected, he will die, Peter says no. So Jesus puts Peter in his place. He turns to Peter and he rebukes him. He tells Peter that he doesn't have the concerns of God in mind, but merely human concerns. Then Jesus calls a crowd over, and he tells them that whoever wants to be his disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. Now remember what I said before about the sin of Adam and Eve, that through them we have all received sin and sinful hearts. Hearts that do not naturally depend on God, but instead depend on ourselves. It is two sinful people, two self-reliant people like me and you, that Christ says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and follow me. So what gives? Because of our sin, we by nature do the opposite of what Jesus tells us to do. By nature, we turn to ourselves. We rely on ourselves instead of God. But Christ redeems us from our self-reliance. In our gospel text today, we will discover three ways that show us how Christ has redeemed us from our self-reliance. Christ redeems us from our self-reliance through his suffering. In verse 31, Jesus teaches his disciples that the Son of Man must suffer many things. We're told in 1 Peter that Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. The righteous Son of God, our Messiah, suffered so that he might bring you back to God, so that he might recreate your heart and turn your attention from yourself back to him. Christ experienced not only his own suffering. Isaiah chapter 53 tells us, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Our Messiah suffered by taking up our suffering, by taking up our pain, by taking up the weight of all of our sin, so that he might bring you back to God. Christ suffered that he might redeem you from your self-reliance. On September 8th, 2008, Thomas Vanderwood was at home with his son Josie, who had Down syndrome. Now Josie was out in the yard, and a septic tank gave way under his feet, and he fell into 8 feet of sewage. His father noticed that he was missing, and when he found his son inside the broken septic tank, he struggled to try to pull him out, but found that he was unable to lift him out of the tank. So he lowered himself into the sewage, but he soon discovered that he was still unable to free his son. In fact, he was struggling just to keep his son's head above the sewage. So he decided to dive under, to hoist Josie onto his shoulders so that his son could breathe. He saved Josie's life, but by the time rescue came, Thomas had drowned. Thomas had drowned, saving his son's life. Before his father arrived, Josie only had himself to rely on to save him from certain death, and it wasn't enough. So his father jumped in, and by his suffering, Josie was saved. This is what Jesus does for us. He climbed down into the muck of this world, and he suffered to save you from your self-reliance, so that you might live. Christ redeems us from our self-reliance through his rejection. In verse 31 of our gospel text, Jesus teaches his disciples that the Son of Man must be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. But it wasn't only the religious leaders who rejected Jesus. Jesus was despised and rejected by all of mankind. But this rejection did not mean defeat. Later in his gospel, Mark quotes an Old Testament psalm. He says, "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone," which is to say that Jesus, although he was rejected, works through his rejection to reveal that it is on him that everything else relies. Our Messiah is the cornerstone. He is the foundation, the one to whom we are to be oriented. Christ is the one who, by his rejection, redeems us from our self-reliance. He redeems us from our self-reliance through his death and resurrection. In verse 31 of our gospel text, Jesus teaches his disciples that the Son of Man must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. Like his suffering, like his rejection, Christ's death and resurrection was not for his sake. In the second chapter of Hebrews, we're told that Jesus suffered death that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. Christ not only died his own death, he died the one that you deserve. In Hebrews chapter 2, he writes, "He too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." By his death and resurrection, our Messiah has freed us from the power that death holds over us. We are no longer slaves to the fear of death. In Christ, we are free. In Christ, we who are unable to free ourselves have received freedom. Because Christ redeems us from our self-reliance by his death and resurrection. I think this is beautifully illustrated in the second verse of the hymn, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." It goes, "Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed over the grave, who rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Christ redeems us from our self-reliance. His suffering was for you. His rejection was for you. And his death and resurrection was for you. So that just as Christ was resurrected from the dead, we too now live in the hope of our coming resurrection. Christ has saved us from the delusion of being the masters of our fate. He has saved us from the delusion of being the captains of our souls, because Christ denied himself. Because Christ took up his cross for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning as sinners in need of your grace. We confess that we do not trust in and rely on you as we should. Too often we look to ourselves instead of you. We thank you for your Son, who suffered, was rejected, died, and rose from the grave for us, that we might rely on you. We ask that you would give us new hearts that cling to you and to your word, receiving the promises that you have given to us through your Son, our Messiah. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank God. Congregation, would you please rise for our closing chorus, "Go Now in Peace." Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.